today on Real Radio.
But if we leave a church and we're all stoked and pumped about, oh, wasn't he just something, or wasn't that guest speaker just the most wonderful? That's wrong. We should be able, though, if we name the name of Christ, we should be known for our love one for another.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. We're in a mini-series that takes a look at a section in chapter 3, where the Apostle John explains that there is at least one truly noticeable outstanding qualification of the true believer, and that is love for the brethren. Jesus himself went on record saying that this is one clear way that the world would know that we are his people. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his mini-series called Proof of the Divine Birth.
It doesn't matter. Are you looking unto Jesus Christ to be the author and the finisher of your faith? Well, do you baptize people backwards or forwards? You know, I get this. People write me, you know, we've just started attending and we want to know, do you baptize in Jesus' name? Well, it depends on who, you know, you got to be careful how you answer that question. Because some people are looking for the answer, yes, we baptize in Jesus' name. Then there are those who are looking for the answer, we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So have you noticed if you've been baptized here at this church, you know what we do? Remember? We take you out in the water. We pray with you. We remind you about what God has brought you through and what's going to happen in a moment and the public significance of all the people that have gathered around to see you be baptized. It's a wonderful spectacle to the glory of God. And then just to cover all the bases for you, we'll say, and right now, we're going to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. And up they come. Listen, love is the issue. Not love for the sacrifice of the truth. No, when the truth is established, as we look at the Bible and follow the scripture as it's revealed to us, the Word of God, then if that's true, if we follow the Word of God, love will hallmark the believer's life. And that is altogether the most important thing. Now we pick up where we left off last time. That was all introduction. Okay? So here we go. This is important. You ready? Take your notes. Get them ready. We have the love of God. Proof of the divine birth is that you will have the love of God in your life. How so? He says, for this is the message, verse 11, that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain. Listen to this interesting illustration that he gives us. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. He says in verse 13, don't marvel. The word is in the Greek. Don't be surprised. Don't be startled. Don't be shocked, my brethren, if the world hates you. Interesting. First of all, note the connection. Cain is associated with hatred. Cain is displayed as the one who hated. Abel is the one who loved. Now watch this. We have no reason at all to think that Abel had ill feeling or will towards Cain. It's Cain, in the area of hatred, murdered his brother. It was, by the way, the second murder in the Bible. Some of you who know your Bible, your eyebrows should kind of go up. Second murder, yeah. The first murder was when Satan came and lied to Eve. That was the first murder. The second murder, Cain kills his brother Abel. And John is here saying that you can look at the life of Cain, and the Christian church is comprised of those who are to be loving God. Can I say this? We are to be like Abel's, loving, making holy sacrifice, sacrifices of faith unto God, an offering of faith unto the Lord. Cain, God warned Cain. He said, Cain, don't you know this is true, that if you do right, you'll do well. But Cain, I'm warning you, sin lies crouched at your door and it is waiting for you. Think about that. God was warning Cain. And John here is saying the world will hate us just like Cain hated Abel. He hated him. When you say, well, I hate that person, God views that as you wanting to kill them. You may say, well, you know, I don't take it that far. God does. The Bible says, for every idle word that comes out of our mouth, we'll have to give an account for in the day of judgment. Well, I hate that person. Let's be honest. You dislike them. They don't please you, or whatever the thing is, but do you really hate them? If you hate them, it would mean that if there were nobody looking, that hatred has now ensconced your heart like scar tissue, and it has hardened your heart to the point that even with God's eyes looking on, you would kill them if you could get away with it. In fact, the tragic thing is, in the life of a person who is not of God, who lives like Cain, they would kill if it wasn't for fear of the law, if it wasn't for the fear of getting caught. They would execute. And look at the world we're living in. Can you believe the stuff that's going on in the world? Hatred. He's telling us this is the message. And that message is that you've heard it from the very beginning. Now, the word beginning does not mean from the beginning of creation. The word means from the beginning of the gospel message. In other words, and I love it. Make a note of it, will you? It's good stuff to write down. That the message and its beginning is rooted in the person of Jesus in his earthly ministry. They saw love. They looked at love. They watched love minister. God is love. You've heard this message from the beginning. John is saying the things that Jesus spoke and did, that was love. And so what else do we know of this? We have the love of God. Mark it down. He tells us love for one another. Verse 11, for this is the message that you've heard from the beginning. What is it? That we should love one another. He's talking to the body of Christ. 1 John's written to the believer. You'll never find a perfect church. J. Vernon McGee. The Bible, remember, he's still on the radio. Welcome aboard the Bible bus. And he'll talk about how people looking for the perfect church. And he says, if you find that perfect church, you must be very careful to never join it. Because the moment you do, it's no longer a perfect church. That's great. I thank that God makes sure that every church has got its share of problems, just so Jesus is sought after as Lord. You know? God forbid that at the end, and I don't think it happens here, but at the end of a service at this church, people would walk out of here saying, oh, you know, what a great orator. Well, I don't think that's going to happen, but it better not happen. Oh, what a great mess. Oh, he told some funny story. You know what? I hope that doesn't happen. I hope you leave this place saying, man, you know what? The Lord is so good. The Lord is so good that he can use a jerk like Pastor Jack. The Lord is so good that, you know what? The word just jumped off the page at me and ministered to my heart today. We should leave a gathering having spent time in the presence of God talking about who? God. Encouraged about what? Our walk with the Lord. But if we leave a church and we're all stoked and pumped about, oh, wasn't he just something? Or wasn't that guest speaker just the most wonderful? That's wrong. We should be able, though, if we name the name of Christ, we should be known for our love one for another. You know, I love it. The scripture says love covers a multitude of sin. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love. I think all those other descriptions follow afterwards. It simply flows out of love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, goodness, self-control, long-suffering, all these things. Well, that you're not going to have those things unless you have love first. The love of God. The message is that we love one another. Romans chapter 5, verses 5 and 6 says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given unto us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That word due time is a great word. At the right time, Galatians 4, verse 4 says, in the fullness of times, Christ came, born of a woman, born under the law. At just the right time, Christ came into the world. Why? To send us a message regarding the love of God. And I wonder in the 33 and a quarter years of Jesus' life, I wonder if there was people in that time. We know from archaeological evidence that they would draw the ichthys in the marble or in the ground or in sandstone, the ichthys, I-X-O-Y-E. The first letters of the Greek language, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. We know that they carved it into various places. In fact, they have unearthed Caiaphas' house. And some of us have gone down on the tour into Caiaphas' house. And there in the pit where they would put the condemned criminal that would be awaiting trial or execution in that dungeon, we've gone down in there. And isn't it interesting, those of you who were there, that against one of the walls, there is the bodily oils of the prisoners who were not chained. There's no marks of being bound or chained to the wall whatsoever. But they've apparently leaned against the wall in the form of a cross, and the body oils have been sucked into the rock in that dungeon. And across from them, up high, is a cross carved. And it's interesting, we know for a fact that the prisoners just stood in the form of a cross and they looked at the cross. The cross is there in Jerusalem tonight in their association with Christ. And the scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And we blow that verse off. We've seen so many sporting events. We've seen the football go through the upright so many times, and we've seen the guy with the John 3:16 sign that we don't even read it anymore. But it's the greatest message in the world. Because God loved us, we can love each other. How dare we refrain from showing love to one another when Christ has loved us unconditionally? Who am I to pick and choose who I will love and who I will not love when Christ loved me in my most ungodly state and condition? So that's why Paul says in Romans 5, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. How dare we be selective or segregating about who will love and who will not love? Isn't it wild to think that the Lord loves the most wretched, miserable maniac tonight? We hate them. We watch the news and we see an injustice done and we say, Lord, kill that guy. But there's something more to the story that you and I are not grasping. That wicked man who, yes, God hates his performance, and God hates what that man has done. He hates it. Yet God knows, even though you and I often don't care, that that man is going to go or that woman is going to go into a Christless eternity. And there's something about it that is so mean and ugly and terrible, this hell that was not created for humans, but for the devil and his angels, says the Bible. A hell so bad that God says he weeps over the death of the wicked. He's not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. He loves us that much. Even Charlie Manson, he loves that poor maniac. He loves him. But unless Charlie Manson repents of his sin and comes to Christ, he will go to hell. He has chosen that path. But until a man has ceased from breathing, I believe it's not too late. A life can be turned. The word, by the way, in the Bible, I think you know this, but the word love in Greek is a verb. It is an action word. And we need to act like that. We have the love of God, so we can love one another. Also, our love, which is the love of God given in our hearts, it's regardless of reward. And listen, it says in verse 12, not as Cain. We're not going to love like Cain loved. Well, praise the Lord. Who needs that kind of love? We're not going to love like Cain, who was wicked. He was a murderer, killed his brother. And listen to what the Bible says. Why did he murder him? Because his works were evil. His works were evil. Wait a minute, Jack. I read that part of Genesis. And Cain offered a sacrifice just like Abel did. Now, listen. There's a couple of options here or opinions I should bring up. Those of you who are Bible students and scholars, listen carefully. This is debated. And I want to just hit this for a moment. It is said regarding Cain and Abel's offerings, you know the story, that when it came time to make an offering, Abel brought a lamb that had been sacrificed, placed it on the altar, and Cain brought, because he was a farmer, he brought grain and offered it up. Was that a sin? No, because the Bible talks about that God does accept grain offerings. See, some people say, well, the reason why Cain was in trouble from the get-go is because he didn't offer a blood offering. And there's a lot of validity to that argument. Because without the shedding of blood, it has to be innocent blood, there is no covering for sin. But the law had not yet been given. Keep that in mind. But it's a good argument. What made Cain's offering evil to God? It was an offering. Let's put it in a modern day vernacular. They went to church together. They tithed. They even served in the church. They lifted their hands in worship to God. They wore the same clothes. Mom made them both. They looked identical. They're going through all of the motions. What's John's point? Internally. Am I boring you? Internally, there was something wrong. It didn't matter how good they looked on the outside. There was something wrong on the inside. Cain's offering was evil. Why? His heart was evil. It wasn't that it was grain. A wheat or a wave offering. It was his heart. The heart was the issue. Cain's internal hatred manifested itself ultimately in external murder. That hatred was there and it came out and it came against his brother. What a tragic start for the human race, isn't it? It was a matter of faith as well. You know, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. I love that chapter, by the way. Whenever you get depressed, read Hebrews 11. It's the chapter of the lifestyles of the righteous and faithful. It's a great book. In Hebrews 11:4, it says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. You see, it was the blood, though that's important, or the grain. It was the heart, and it was the faith connected. Cain's heart was evil. Abel's faith was real, inwardly first, and it was revealed outwardly. Tragically, Cain, in a spiritual sense, is a descendant of Satan. The Bible says, Jesus said in John 8:44, he speaks to the religious hierarchy of his day, and he says, you are of your father, the devil. Man, check that out in your genealogical tree. Jesus says, hey, I'll tell you about your genealogy. You're of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks lies from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of every lie. Satan is. It's an interesting thing that the Bible warns us prophetically in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that the Antichrist is going to come onto the world scene and he's going to deceive people by a lie. By the way, it's singular. It's not lies. He will somehow state something that is the ultimate lie and the world will go after him. In Psalm 51 verse 5, the Bible says, behold, this is David speaking, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Well, we talked about it earlier, how we're all born into sin. That's why we have to be born again. And just jot it down, there's no time to read it, but Romans chapter 1, verses 28 to 32 warns us about the flesh and the nature of the flesh and how destructive it is. Look with me at verse 13. Regarding our love for one another, love regardless of reward, because it's dedicated unto God, and love that endures. He says, do not marvel. Don't be surprised, my brethren, if the world hates you. I don't know if you've been a Christian very long or you've been able to declare publicly your faith or in any way act out your faith publicly, but it won't take long before you find out the world hates you. Don't worry about it. The world hates you. It's probably, again, proof of the divine birth that's taking place in your life. The world is going to hate you. The next thing that we see in our third point, and we'll wrap it up on the third point here tonight, the proof of the divine birth is that we have the life of God. We have the life of God. I've often bored you with that breakdown of Noah Webster's presentation of the word enthusiasm or enthusiastic. Last night I was speaking to a gathering of college students, and I gave that, and by the response of the students, they had not looked into that word, and they're very excited about it. But when we talk about having the life of God in us, I don't know about you, but there's don't take this wrong, but there's some people who are just up all the time. That's their personality, and that's great. There's some people who are down or appear to be down. There's some people that are just, you know, stable Mabels, you know. They're just always in the same spot. They're just always, you know, you've known them for years. They're just that way, and that's great. That's just great. God's made you that way. That's super. But I believe strongly that this word enthusiastic or enthusiasm, you know, it's rooted in Greek and in the Latin language. And en is indwelling, theos is God, and asm is activity. Because God dwells within you, you have activity. There's a unction to your life. Now, you may be a very melancholy person, and you're a born-again Christian. That's great. But somewhere in your life, somehow, there's going to be an enthusiasm regarding God. It could be in your writing. It could be in leaving messages on people's phone. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe you're not outwardly, you know, you're not going to be found on the street corner preaching. It's not you. But you can be found praying. And somebody might say, well, you know, they're pretty boring. Well, wait a minute. Have you ever been with them in a prayer meeting? My goodness. I pray, desire, God surround me with people who are enthusiastic in the area of prayer.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a mini-series taken from a section of 1 John chapter 3, where John actually explains how love among the believers is a true and obvious sign of being a disciple of Jesus. The title, Proof of the Divine Birth. Proof of the Divine Birth is a mini-series and part of Pastor Jack's look at this New Testament letter written by the Apostle John. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget that every Monday night, we'd be honored if you'd join us on hischannel.com. You can catch the latest Real Life with Jack Hibbs television program. Again, the show, Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Now, if you haven't seen the program yet, we really think you're going to like it. If you have seen the program, well, you know what I'm talking about. Real Life with Jack Hibbs is just that. It's a program that takes a look at real life issues that affect you and me, believers in today's world. Pastor Jack talks about issues like biblical prophecy, the nation of Israel, the religion of Islam, defending the faith, defending the truth and reliability of Scripture, also the Judeo-Christian worldview on politics, the military, government, and a whole lot more. It's a great program. Now, sometimes you'll hear Pastor Jack himself teach about these topics, whereas other times he'll sit down and interview somebody who specializes in that particular field. You're going to like this show. Real Life with Jack Hibbs, every Monday night, 7 o'clock, Pacific Coast Time, on hischannel.com. Now, if you'd like to see some recent interviews and topical teachings, just click Video on Demand right there at the top of the page. Then, of course, join us tonight for the broadcast of Real Life with Jack Hibbs. 7 o'clock West Coast time on hischannel.com. We hope to see you there. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.